I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down. Not really. Hey, welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast with your host, Garrett Michael Conklin. How exciting. Hey, what a great day, huh? I feel like absolute crap today, but what else is new? But it is a beautiful fall day. It's kind of sunny out here. It's got leaves blowing around. There's a little bit of wind. It's just the right temperature outside, at least for my taste. Just got inside from taking Bella for a little walk, kind of like a wander around the yard into the backyard. Our backyard kind of butts up to like a whole big woodsy area. We can't let her go because she kind of just takes off running, but it would be nice if she could do that. I'm sure she'd appreciate going out for a nice walk in the woods. She does whenever she can get away. She takes the opportunity to go do that. But man, I got to tell you, I feel kind of, I don't know what the word is. It's kind of pukey, I guess. I don't know. I feel ugh today. My wife and youngest daughter went out to Letchworth State Park for a little ride out in the, they like to go out in the wilderness. I'm not feeling so hot today, so I kind of sat that one out, unfortunately. I've just been feeling like kind of, I don't know. I'm not sure what my issue is. I don't have COVID. I mean, I've been, how many times I need to test myself for that, so it's not that. I just feel like crap. I don't know if it's my allergies or what, but I feel kind of ugh, you know, kind of like yucky in the stomach kind of thing. I don't know, but it's more in my head. I had like a migraine yesterday, and I think I'm still kind of dealing with it today. Anyway, enough about how lousy I feel. Let's get into some kind of a topic today, huh? So like I said yesterday, or the last episode, whenever that was, I think it was yesterday. I'm not really feeling the love in terms of the technology anymore, I guess. I'm not what I used to be. That's a very aptly titled episode for sure. I'm not whining about it. I'm not sad about it. I'm just a little shocked, I guess, that after all this time, all these years, so quickly that stuff fades away and you forget how to do all these things because you're not using them. I guess they're easily lost skills that I'll have to come to terms with the fact that I just don't have anymore, or I'll have to put in the extra work. And, you know, quite frankly, I've gotten so tired of that whole process of having to continue to keep up with everything, you know, and you have to do all this stuff in your spare time. This is not like something I can do throughout the day. I'm working all day. I have to focus on that work. So if I wanted to gain these skills back, it would be more time that it would be taken away from either this or music or family time or just relaxing to learn something else. And I just feel like I don't have any of that left in me. That drive is driven on, and it's kind of off into the nether regions of my life, and I don't know that I'll get back there anytime soon. So I guess the concession is I have to take stock in the fact that I guess I don't have those skills anymore. And again, unless I want to put in the effort, I'm not going to get back there. So what's your favorite season of the year? As I said, it was, you know, mine is fall. It's so beautiful out right now, especially in the Northeast. It's nice out here when it's it cools down, the humidity goes away, and it's just kind of like a nice 50 degrees and a little breezy out, like I said, but the colors are pretty. It's kind of, I'm not a big fan of the sun either. I burn really easily, so that's not really a big, like I love going to the ocean and stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I am not a tropical kind of person. I'm definitely more a fall season kind of person, so that's definitely where I'm at. Nice apple cider and, you know, pumpkin pies and just, I don't know, this is a fun month for me. I enjoy October quite a bit. I think we're going to do a fun fall dinner tonight of tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches. Ooh, those are so yummy. Although I'm not really in the mood to eat today. I've only had an apple so far and a couple of Timbits, so I'm not really, although I will say when I don't eat, I look so much nicer. I feel so skinny, even though I'm, you know, I probably like lost 1 pound. It's just, I don't know. If I could somehow feel like this all the time, I wouldn't have such a problem with eating so much food. But I guess I don't, that's a real conundrum, word of the day. I think I skipped that in the last episodes, but here's my conundrum today is that, you know, like I don't overeat at all. I mean, I really don't. Like we had, what was yesterday? I had one slice of pizza for lunch, one slice of pizza for dinner. And I'm pretty sure that's all I ate all day. Maybe an apple. Yeah, probably had an apple. I like apples. But How is that overeating? That's not even 1,000 calories. I mean, seriously. So I don't really get why I don't know, maybe that's the wrong approach. I should be eating more of better stuff. I don't know. But no, I get it that pizza's not a health food, you know, and it's not good for you. But I only had 2 slices all day. So how was that? You know, it's not like I sat down and ate 5 slices of pizza for dinner and I had lunch and breakfast and I had nothing all day. That was all I ate was 2 slices of pizza. And they were just cheese. They didn't even have anything really bad on them other than the cheese. It was just plain cheese pizza. Regular size slices. I don't know. It's just crazy. It blows my mind. And then today, you know, I woke up and I was just kind of like, ugh, I just felt yucky. I don't know what that's from. But you know, whenever I feel kind of queasy like that, it, you know, you lose your appetite. It doesn't make you hungry. It makes you not want to eat because you don't feel that great. Like right now, I just have one of those deep in my eyes headaches. Doesn't feel like it kind of feels like it's in my temples almost. So those are kind of like lingering migraine-y kind of things for me. I don't know. I just have felt crappy all morning, so I haven't eaten anything. But an apple was about all I've choked down so far. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Then there's times when I don't eat and I feel all woozy and it makes me feel weird. My body is just a mystery to me at this point. I have no idea what's going on, whether it be mental. I don't know. Who knows? It's just crazy. So let me, while we're talking about mental stuff, I had to stop by my psychiatrist's office the other day because they're actually really nice. And, you know, they've helped me out a few times. Now I just changed jobs again. So my insurance changed. And of course, where I work now doesn't offer a no copay or a no deductible plan, unfortunately. And because Latuda, if you're listening out there, Latuda, you fuckers, doesn't offer a generic, the medication is like $1,600 for a 30-day supply, which is, I mean, it's ludicrous. So until I meet my out-of-pocket, I got to pay the full price. And I can't afford that. I mean, I sit here and talk like I'm comfortable, but yeah, I don't have $1,600 laying around to squander on some medication. So my psychiatrist left me a month's supply of Latuda, which I'll probably end up trying to wean myself off of anyway. I mean, it's so expensive and ridiculous that, you know, what am I supposed to do? I can't afford that. And I'm not going to shell out whatever my out-of-pocket minimum, like $2,600 or whatever it is. I'm not going to do that. So I guess I'm not taking this medicine until my employer can potentially look at different insurance plans. But that's not till April of 2022. So I have a hard time believing that my psychiatrist is going to give me free samples for the next 6 months. So I'm not sure what the withdrawal will be like that. Well, that's kind of a screwy sentence. I guess it makes sense in some way, right? Who knows? I don't have any idea what I'm even talking about today. It's kind of a weird Sunday for me. Again, I'm trying to take advantage of the opportunities that I have when it's quiet around the house or people aren't home. My son's out working. My wife and my youngest are out hiking, and my middle daughter was sick at work today, so she came home and she's upstairs sleeping. So it's just me and the dogs and the guinea pig right now. So downstairs, taking advantage of the free time and the noise-free environment. I know some of you out there can relate to that. I can't imagine that I'm the only person that goes through like, hey man, it'd be great if I had a half an hour of just peace and quiet to myself one time during the week. So this might be twice for me this weekend. I'm getting lucky here. A couple updates. I don't know if I reported back on this or not. I was calling myself out some episodes back by being lazy and not getting all my publishing in order for music. And I rectified that. I went through and got all the songs that are out and coming out in the near future are all published as well. So I have gotten kind of lazy with putting songs over to HFA and some of the other royalty collection houses, just because none of this stuff is doing anything anyway. So if I get a big song, then it matters. Like I said, the publishing even doesn't really even matter that much either. Till you have a song that's doing huge numbers, you're not really making much money off that. But you know, as it stands now, I'm making, I don't know, maybe like $1,500-$1,600 every quarter off publishing. So that's something, you know, I mean, so I'll keep doing that. But again, unless I have another song or a couple songs that really hit it big on some big playlists or do something big, there's really not very much money in there. And a lot of people talk about how they want to hold on to their publishing, and you get all this information about it. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you're going to get, somebody's going to front you like 50 grand, but they want your publishing, as an unknown artist or a, you know, recently starting out, new starting artist, I mean, that's not something you should not think twice about. I would definitely think long and hard about that. If somebody came to me and proposed, hey, I want to give you 50 grand for the next 10 songs you put out, I would absolutely take that. You know, I mean, to me, that's a good opportunity. Not that 50 grand is a lot of money, but like I said, I'm not making 50 grand a year. So if somebody were going to want to front that to me, that's why they aren't doing that, is because I don't have something that's of that kind of value. Of course I would take it. But there's so much conjecture around people, you know, saying, well, don't sign this, don't sign that. It's like, well, you know, you'll be me in a lot of instances. If you don't take advantage of some of the opportunities that may present themselves to you, you're not going to get very far very quickly. Let me just say that. It's pretty difficult in this landscape of millions of artists that are putting out millions of songs. How do you, not individually, but collectively, how do you stand out in the crowd? Well, I don't for sure have no idea how that works. I'm been, you know, kind of organically growing. But as I've explained to you before, without the big playlists on Spotify, nothing is happening for me on Spotify. And without my distributor, nothing would be happening to me on Apple Music. And I just happen to be fortunate that, you know, the guy that handles my label and my artist on my distributor actually likes my stuff, which is the only reason I'm sure he keeps putting the stuff out. And putting it on his playlists is because he's the curator. So if he likes the stuff, then of course he's going to put it out there, and it's going to get some exposure. You know, and I'm super fortunate that that's even going on at all for me in any level. You know, not to mention that it's on Apple. So that's great. Now, again, I've explained, I haven't even made a million streams on Apple yet. And, you know, it may sound really arrogant to say things like that. It's like, well, what do you mean? You know, you haven't made a million streams. You know, I haven't even done 50,000, maybe, say you potentially as an artist. I only say that in context because you need multi-millions of streams to make any kind of a living doing this or make any kind of meaningful money. You know, I mean, it's like I make like a couple $100 a month right now. You know, I mean, so it, not that the money matters. As I said before, I'm not really judging it that way, but if you wanted to actually make a living doing this, you know, it's all a volume thing. You know, you got to really have millions and millions and millions of streams to make any real money doing this stuff. And that's unfortunate, but if you don't have those numbers, you're just not making the money. That's just the way it goes. Like I said, I'm not really focusing on that anymore. I'm going to slow down my release cadence a lot. I think I'm just going to, you know, watch, I'll say this and then I'll lose this job somehow too. But, you know, at this point, I really don't care anymore. You know, I know I just shifted gears there and you're probably like, what the fuck is this idiot talking about? Well, I have this like, I don't know if this is like a mental issue or just me as a person, but I have this like doomsday feeling about everything. Like I don't have enough time and things are always going to come to an end. I can never really feel comfortable and settled anywhere because I'm always just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Where it's like, oh, okay, I finally feel comfortable in this place and, oh, well, we're going to fire you or, well, we're going to be bought out and you're not going to have a job. So there's always that pressure. And I think that I've been able to kind of let that go. And I, you know, I'm fortunate that I've done a good job of saving money and stuff like that. So I have a bit of a nest egg set aside where if I were to lose my job, we'd probably be okay for about a year. I could probably milk the money that I have right now that's pure liquidity, like meaning I just have it sitting somewhere. I could milk that. I mean, it's significant. It's like a, you know, a third of what I make annually right now. But I, you know, I definitely could milk it for a long period of time. We'd have to cut back on a lot of stuff and, you know, I couldn't just squander money the way I do now. You know, like I'm buying crypto all the time right now. And that, to me, that's kind of a squandering because I approach that whole thing as a complete gamble. You know, I mean, it's seemingly an investment, but I could lose my ass on that tomorrow or today or 5 seconds from now, the whole thing could just go belly up. So all the money that I put in that could just, you have to kind of approach it as it's money that you could live without. So it's disposable income kind of a thing. And if it does something great, that's great too, but I'm in it more for the long term and to see what it can do over, you know, at least a year's time. So I'm just going to keep buying, and I'm not going to sell anything unless something crazy goes on in the market. Like one of these things just shoots up like 1,000% or something like that. Then of course I will, but I'm just going to take it and reinvest it into something else in crypto, because I think over the long term, this is more of a something that's going to grow into something more substantial, because I think it's going to become more commonplace for the world at large. You know, I think U.S. currency is going to go into this at some point. I mean, there's a lot of talk about that. There's a lot of opportunity. So I think that, you know, I got into doing stuff in crypto just to get familiar with how it works and get things set up so that when it does happen, I'm not caught going, oh crap, I got to catch up now and everybody's using crypto for things. I'm already doing it. I don't know. I own like 20 different tokens, maybe. I don't even know what my portfolio looks like, but I mean, I do, but I couldn't rattle them off. I got at least 20 assets up there now, or 20 blockchains or whatever you want to call it, coins, I guess. And again, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just buying when it's low and holding it. And then when it goes down again, I buy it again. And then I'm trying, but you know, you're talking about like things that are like moving around a dollar or two, or in some cases like pennies, or even in some optimal cases like fractions of pennies. So I'm trying to put some of my money into places where I would be able to get the money out. But it's more of this modern investing as opposed to the traditional. I don't even know if I have a 401k right now with the company that I work for. I'm sure it's not kicked in. I've only been there a month. So there's probably some 90-day waiting period for that, if not a whole year. And I think I have a leftover 401k from where I just came from. I probably should look into that, because I don't even know where that is, but I'm sure it's nothing. It's probably like less than $5,000. So it's not anything significant at all. So to that end, I'm kind of, you know, I don't really have much in that kind of long-term sheltered investment, but I'm keeping the cash on hand because just in case, you know, I've got a pretty significant pile and I'm really in debate. You know, maybe somebody can reach out to me, one of you guys that knows more about finance than I do. Like if you had like $40,000 or $50,000, what would you do with it? You know, in cash, what would you do with that kind of money? And that's not anything significant, but it's not nothing either. So I've made like, you know, $2 with money sitting in the bank at that level. It doesn't make any money sitting in a bank account. Let's just be honest. And I read a lot and hear a lot about compounding interest and, you know, all this crap, put your money to work for you. And I don't know how to do any of that stuff. So if any of you guys listening know anything about that, I'd love to pick your brain and get some information on that, because I really have very little to offer myself or anyone else for that matter on that topic. I just have a little bit of extra money that I'm trying to invest in some things that might help me down the road and more importantly, might help my kids. And that's really what I'm trying to hold on to all this money for. It's not going to do anything for me. I mean, basically the way I look at my scenario is when my parents pass away, whatever they have, I'm the only kid, so we'll all come to me, and whatever that is, I'll split up between, I'll split it in quarters. So each of my kids will get a quarter. So that's the three quarters. And then my wife and I will keep one quarter ourselves. And that's going to be, you know, I really want to do something, not to make my kids not have to work, but you know, my life, And I even stand by this today. My life as an adult was very difficult because nothing was given to me. And while I think there's some merit in, you know, working and grinding for what you earn, a lot of that crap was, you know, I had to make a lot of decisions based on the fact that I had no backup plan. I had nothing to turn to. There was nothing for me. I couldn't just kind of like figure out what I wanted to do. I had to go work full time because I had to live somewhere. So I didn't live at home. I moved out when I was like 18 or 17 or something like, no, maybe 19, 18 or 19, somewhere in there. I lived in New York City, you know, and I had to have a job. I didn't have like any kind of, like if I didn't follow the traditional academic path, I was on my own. And I don't want my kids to feel that way. I don't want them to not be spoiled and just, you know, here's $1 million or some crazy thing like that. But how do I explain this better? Like, whenever there's pressure on you from external things where you have to do certain things to just survive, that distracts you and detracts from the things you actually might want to pursue that don't necessarily make you money right here and then. And that's the problem that I was faced with, is that I was trying to pursue music, but at the same time, it wasn't making any money. I wasn't getting in, you know, these massive payouts or any kind of advances or anything to live on. It was just record deals that were going to put out my albums and my singles and stuff like that. But they were only going to pay me once things actually sold. And of course, nothing ended up selling, so I made no money. So I still had to have, you know, regular type jobs doing something. And when you're trying to do music or anything for that matter, it's very difficult, like I've said in other episodes, to really excel when you can't put 100% of yourself into something because you have to go to work. And look, I'm not saying that tons of people haven't been successful doing that. You know, I understand there have been, but there's a lot to be said for having the ability to just focus on what you want to do, or focus on figuring out what it is you want to do without having to worry about all this other nonsense that you shouldn't have to worry about. Like, where's my next meal coming from? Where am I going to live? How am I going to put gas in my car? All this dumb shit that, you know, I guess is part of life. But I got to be honest, for me personally, that did not make me a stronger or better person. It made me way more bitter and resentful. Now, I don't know, maybe you have a different story than I do where the struggle and the grind made you, you know, more successful. But for me, all it did was take away time that I would have had otherwise to work on what I wanted to spend my time doing and honing my craft and becoming, you know, a better musician or being in the studio or doing more intern work. I wasn't able to do that stuff because I had to have a job. I had to work to survive, to support myself, or choose to be homeless. You know, and I've been homeless before. I mean, not for any long period of time, but I've bounced around, but, you know, from friends' houses to friends' houses to, you know, I never had to live in my car or anything, but I've been pretty close. And it's all because of the struggle that, you know, apparently is what you have to go through to make it in life. But I don't buy into that. I don't think that I'm a better person or a stronger person. What I do think is I'm a more bitter and resentful person because of it. Because what I want to do now in my life, I can't do because I never had the opportunity when things weren't, you know, things that I was responsible for didn't matter. It was only about my own personal safety and my own personal well-being. You know, now I have a family. I can't just do nothing. You know, where's the health insurance going to come from? Who's going to pay for the house and all the stuff that we have? Somebody has to pay for that. Sure as heck isn't going to be my wife, as I've called out a million times. So, you know, I just don't have that option. So I look at that as like a real detriment. And I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not saying that it's someone's fault that I'm in the situation that I'm in, other than my own. This is the deck of cards that I was dealt, or the hand of cards that I was dealt. And this is what it is for me. But I want to control or have some influence over how my kids have to go through life. And, you know, I'd like them not to have to worry about some of the same crap that I had to worry about that distracted me from doing the things that I love doing and doing what I really wanted to do with my life. I mean, I still tried, but I was unsuccessful. I failed over and over and over again. And you get very distracted. And then, you know, one minute you turn around and it's like, whoa, 10 years just went by. It's like, holy crap, where did all that time go? So I really try to tell everybody that, you know, and it sounds like bullshit, but it's really not. It's like, you know, well, Garrett, why are you doing this podcast? I mean, nobody listening to this thing. It's pointless. Why are you doing it? I'm doing it because each and every thing that you do moves you closer toward potentially having an opportunity to do something more with that thing. You know, if I just say, well, I'm nothing with this podcast and it's not going anywhere and I stop doing it, well, yeah, it's not going to go anywhere now. I stop doing it. So, you know, there's got to be some drive and ambition that you have in there that makes you continue to persevere through when things aren't going the way that you want them to go. And I've tried to explain that, you know, and use that to the best of my ability to help some of my current employees that I work with understand some of these things because a lot of these guys are a lot younger than I am and they just haven't had these types of life experiences yet. So it's important to share that. I think it's important to share that kind of stuff with people so that they can kind of get a real tangible grip on reality and go, yeah, man, you know, there's a lot of times you're going to have to do things where you're not going to get rewarded the way you think you should. And you're not going to achieve the results that you believe that you deserve to achieve. And that's just the way it goes. But you can't give up. You have to look at that and every step along the way as progress. You know, I didn't go from making $38,000 a year to making $170,000 a year overnight. That took almost 20 years of being paid poorly and being screwed over and not getting opportunities and trying for things that I didn't achieve and failing over and over and over and finally coming to terms with the fact that, you know, money isn't the end all be all. It's about really doing something that you enjoy doing with your time and spending that time with people that you enjoy being with, because time is the most valuable thing, not money. You know, what you do with your time. And that's why I get so frustrated with myself now, because I feel so shitty all the time, whether it's the mental stuff that's going on or physical things that are causing the mental, I don't know. But when I feel like crap and like I didn't go with my daughter and my wife today, you know, that's a real miss. I missed out on a great thing. And I'm really struggling a lot with why this is happening to me now. I don't know if it's my liver issues, if my heart problems, if it's my mental illness. I don't know what's going on, but I am not anywhere near what I used to be. And I've changed as a person. And I would argue not for the better, only because, you know, like I feel like physical crap most of the time. And it makes me not want to go do things because I feel like shit. No, I don't know if that, again, I don't know if that's, you know, mental illness creeping in and taking over and making things worse for me, or, you know, if I'm just having other illnesses kind of reaching other levels. Like I said, I have a fatty liver. So when you have liver function problems, it can affect a lot of things like how you feel and your energy levels and stuff like that. So unfortunately, there's very little that can be done about that from a medical standpoint. It's just something I have to deal with and probably will end up being my demise. You know, it's just one of those hereditary things that I have, unfortunately, you know. But, you know, it's disappointing when you know you're missing out on something and yet you still don't have the power to overcome how you're feeling and then go on anyway. Like, I just feel like crap. You know, I don't like that. I don't want to feel that way, but it's a reality. So I guess the point being, you know, certainly take advantage and make the most of everything that you have in every moment that you have it, because, you know, even when you get what you want, you might still feel terrible doing it. You know, I forget, his name escapes me. It's kind of a difficult one to remember. But the guy that played Black Panther and played in 42 and stuff like that, he was an amazing person and had like debilitating cancer for such a long period of time during his acting career and still made the most of it. So, I mean, so much respect out to people like that. Chadwick Boseman, I had to look his name up, sorry, because I think that's disrespectful to be calling him out. But I mean, what a wonderful human being he was. I mean, just such an example of just being sick all the time. And I mean, I'm sure going through cancer, especially when you're dying from it, can't be anything pleasant. And yet this guy still made the most of every minute of his time and did movies and was sick as hell and still did all this stuff. So that's really inspiring to me because, you know, at least it makes me feel like there's some kind of hope that I could push through how I feel and still get things done. Example, this podcast, you know, I mean, I know this is a lot for me and I do this for me and I don't have a huge listenership, but the nice thing about it is, you know, it's something that I'm still trying to persevere through and get through and talk through and enjoy for all that it can be for me, even though I feel awful right now. And I'm sharing that not to get pity or anything like that. I'm just letting you know that I'm doing something, even though I feel like I'm going to throw up at any moment right now and I'm dizzy and feel terrible. I'm still doing something, trying to contribute back and do what I enjoy doing, even though I don't really feel like doing it and I want to stop and I want to give up and just go lay down and be miserable. I'm trying to persevere. So I'm really and truly trying to live my own words. And, you know, if anybody out there thinks that I'm full of shit, here's the wake up call that I'm not. I feel like absolute crap right now. I want to do nothing. I wish I could just puke and get it over with so that I could stop feeling like this. But nevertheless, I'm still doing what I really enjoy doing and trying to make the most of the time that I have, even if it's feeling like shit. So I'm in no way comparing myself to what Chadwick Boseman went through, you know, throughout cancer. Because I don't have cancer. I'm just saying that I feel terrible right now. And I'm trying to take his example that he set forth and participate in life and life's experience and do the things that you're passionate about, even if you don't feel that great. So I guess we all have our sad stories, right? I mean, we all kind of go through trials and tribulations in our lives and things like that. But I would encourage you that even when you feel worse, and, you know, I'll give my wife credit for this. She's like, you know, when I would tell her how I feel, she's like, you know, maybe that's just how you're going to feel now. And you should just embrace it and just not let it bother you and not continue to compare it to like, well, I feel like crap compared to what I used to feel like. And, you know, if this is something I can't control and this is just who I am now, then I have to accept that and take those words literally and just, you know, when I'm starting to panic or freak out or feel weird and strange and awkward and like displaced and all that crazy stuff that comes along with bipolar and depression and all that stuff, I'm trying to really embrace it, not be happy about it necessarily, but just go, well, this is just who I am now. And this is what I feel like. And it's not so off-putting, and just kind of make the most of it. So if I can give anyone any advice, and I wouldn't listen to a damn thing I say because I'm about as fucked up as you can be in life. But my advice would be, you know, embrace who you are, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, and just, you know, live your best life no matter and despite what's going on around you or things you have no control over. What are you going to do? Just wallow in pity and curl up in a ball and never do anything? So I would, you know, I would encourage you to fight through it and still do the things that you love to do. You know, and with that, I want you to go and enjoy and have a good rest of your weekend. And hopefully your week upcoming will be good and you'll have some great things happen to you. But that's going to do it for me. I think this was a kind of a slow starting episode, but kind of reached a point of revelation like I always do at some point in these podcasts. So as always, thanks for listening. If you like it, I'd appreciate hearing from you. 5 stars, share it with your friends. Thanks as always. Talk to you soon.